Tonight, we're back in the book of Proverbs and looking at what the Word of God says about the tongue, about lying, about gossiping, and about talking too much. Now, it may be that your wife has said about you, well, my husband doesn't talk enough. Well, and he may have said about you, you talk too much. And that has nothing at all to do with this lesson. It just simply has to do with the fact that God wants to change us. And I think that's where we are. But the question is, how on earth is God going to change us? You know, is he just going to take some fairy dust and like Tinkerbell sprinkle it on top of us and we'll all of a sudden become a different kind of person? How is it that how's God going to change us and make us into a different person? Well, I think we know if we'll think about it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so if I'm going to change who I is, and I know that's not good English, but if I want to change the kind of person that I am, I've got to change the way that I think. Now, that means that I've got to think more diligently about some things that I am not in order that I might become what God wants me to be. And you know this verse from Psalms, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." You know the rest of that, dude. Let's say it together. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You want to deal with sin in your life? Then take these verses from Proverbs and make them a part of your life. And so there's the topics we're going to look at, and that is, there are some verses in Proverbs about the tongue, there are verses in Proverbs about lying, verses in Proverbs about gossiping, and verses in Proverbs about talking too much. And let's get to the lesson. As we think about this lesson, we first look at those verses that deal with the matter of the tongue. And just like that chart that we had this morning, down at the bottom of those verses is a square that has in it the words that are on those memory cards that you have, those things you have to try to help you study the Bible. And I'm not sure exactly how you want to meditate on the law of the Lord. It may be you may want to just, put these verses in your iPhone or something and listen to them, just like you would listen to an iPod tune or something like that, to a section of the Bible to do that. It may be that you'd want to write them on a card and put that card, on the dash of your car or put it someplace. But folks, if we don't spend time in the Word of God thinking about what God says, we'll never change what we are. And that's really the design of what's happening in those verses that we looked at this morning, and especially those verses that we look at right now. Let's look at these verses. There are only about five or six of these verses that talk about the tongue and see what the Bible says about it. The first one is from Proverbs chapter 15, where it says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." Now I want you to think about the wisest man other than Jesus who ever lived on this earth, with wisdom given him from God, says, "Before you answer, study what you're going to say." Isn't that really what that verse says? Here's a righteous man, and the heart of the righteous man studies how to answer. And if you're one of those individuals who, if a thought just comes in your head, it's running out of your mouth, then you need to hear what God is trying to tell you about your speech. Here's a righteous man, and the heart of a righteous man studies how to answer. Now, in reality, whenever you put your foot in your mouth, you ought to stop and think, what should I have said? How could I have handled this differently? And then ask God to help you remember the pain that you felt, the agony that you felt because of what you said, and how that foot tasted when it was in your mouth, and how terrible you felt when you had to go to that individual and say, "I'm sorry that I said that." Here's what God says. If you want to be righteous, then you do not need to be that person who has a thought and immediately that thought comes running out of your mouth. The heart of a righteous man studies how to answer. Isn't that great? That's something we may need to meditate about. What about Proverbs 18? Here's another one of those pithy statements from the book of Proverbs. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him. I don't know of any verse in the Bible that has helped me more in a counseling situation than this verse. And I don't know of anything that can help you in any relationship that you have other than to try to get this inside your heart and make it a part of your soul. He that answers a matter before he hears it. Now you think about that. Think of how easy it is. Somebody's having marital problems. And they come to you in a marital situation and they'll say, well, let me tell you what she's doing. Or let me tell you what he's doing. And you listen to them and then you immediately form an opinion about who's right and who's wrong in that. You know what the Bible says about that? It's foolishness. And one of the mistakes that I've seen young preachers make and that I've seen individuals make over and over again is to fail to recognize there are two sides to every... Have you ever been misunderstood something you said? And somebody went and they told what was said. Now what if that person that they told what you said or misrepresented, misunderstood what you were saying, what if the whole world accepted that interpretation of it? Just good old common sense would say that you need to hear both sides of the matter because you haven't heard it. You want to change your heart? Then think about those times whenever you've wound up on the wrong side of an issue. The Bible says you need to listen and hear it all, or it's folly. You want to be a fool in God's sight? Then you be that individual too, whenever, because someone says something to you, you immediately decide that. When I was a teenager, I tried that with my parents. Something would happen at school, and I'd want to get home and tell Mom and Daddy about it before anybody else on earth had. And I was hoping they'd never investigate it. You know, if I can just give my side of it, if I can say it first, then I'm going to win. Not if you're wise. Not if the person you're saying it to is wise. He that speaks answers a matter before he hears it. It's folly to him. Here's one and has two questions on the cards that are there. A soft answer turns away wrath. You believe that? You know how to have a fuss? You know how to have a fuss? Ignore what this verse says. Somebody comes to you and they're all hot under the collar, and I, whether it's in the workplace or in school or whether you know you've rammed somebody with run into their car and you've had a wreck with them or something, and they come out and they're as hot as they can be. You know how to handle that situation? Well, I know how we handle it. If they're upset, if a soft answer turns away wrath. I find that absolutely amazing. What a simple principle that is. And yet how easy it is to miss it. Now, the next slide has the other part of this, and that says, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Here's my response. When there's a situation that has developed, I need to understand that I'd answer it in one of two ways. Somebody is angry, somebody is upset. You want to be wise about how to handle that? Then give the soft answer. I remember seeing this in a mock situation many years ago. I was conducting a men's training class at a congregation before Sunday night services. We had about a full hour men's training class. Church didn't have elders, didn't have deacons, and so we were in the process of trying to develop some of those talents. And so I got two of the older men in the church to make up this story about about the fact that one of them had borrowed the boat of another and had in turn loaned the boat to somebody else in the church who had taken some other men in the church fishing, and the boat was all damaged and the church was in absolute turmoil. And it was all hypothetical. And nobody except the two men knew what was going to happen. I said, now we're going to try to solve this problem. So here both of these men were there in the class, and they were absolutely marvelous at what they did, because before they finished telling the whole story, they had called the name of every man in that class. And it was amazing. Old Brother Haney said, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. He didn't know it's hypothetical. I'll never forget that. And so we asked two brethren to go and solve this matter. And they went to one of the brethren in the hypothetical situation who was as hot-headed as he could be. And they pretended to knock on the door. And he said, and he just went on and told his story, trying to solve this problem. And I'll never forget the older brother who said to the hot-headed brother, man, that's something we ought to pray. We need to pray about this. Why don't you pray for this brother who has offended you? You're talking about disarming. A soft answer turns away wrath. But look again, the harsh answer stirs up anger. What about this one? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. If you'll guard your mouth, if you'll guard your tongue, the wisest man that ever lived says, you will keep troubles, in the plural, from coming into your life. Now, if I'm going to change the way I am, I'm going to have to memorize these principles. If not memorize the verses, at least memorize these principles that the Bible has about the tongue. What about this one? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's amazing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I've said this, and I've said it in this place, and I think it's a very obvious kind of statement. But there's not a there's almost any one of us in this body could by lying stir up troubles that would almost destroy the body of Jesus in this place. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where there was internal church suffering, where there was trouble being stirred within a church. Preaching at a church one time where there was a series of anonymous letters. Some 30 or 40 anonymous letters had been sent out. One woman in the church had sent every one of those letters out in an anonymous way and had stirred the church like you cannot believe. Death and life almost killed the church. And it all came to head because one of the older men in the church and I were having Sunday lunch at a widow's house, and she went and said, I need to show you something. And she pulled out this letter that just accused her of absolutely everything on this earth. Well, I'd gotten a letter. In fact, I'd gotten two of them. And come to find out, I hadn't said anything about it. By the way, send me an anonymous letter. You'll never know whether I get it or not. I won't tell you. And I just filed it away. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. And all of a sudden, this older brother said, I got one. And what had happened? She had destroyed the spirit of so many individuals. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You want to kill your home? You want to kill your marriage? You want to destroy your relationship with your parents? You parents want to destroy your relationship with your children? You want to destroy friendship? Solomon says, the wisest man that ever lived says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now let's change the directions. And as still talking about some of the similar things, but what does Proverbs say about lying? What does the wisest man ever live say about lying? He says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. I want you to stop and hear that. You ever tell a lie? Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. If you'll just stop and reflect about it for a moment, if you lie to your mate, you'll destroy your marriage. Mark it down. You lie to your husband, you lie to your wife, and it will be the longest time before they'll ever be able to trust you. I marvel that lying is in the categories with listing with other sins. You look at the Ten Commandments, right alongside the matter of committing adultery and right alongside the matter of murder, right alongside the matter of idolatry, is that commandment that says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And you know Revelation 21:8, do you not? At least you know the last part of that verse that says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. Would you look at the other sins that are categorized with that? God does not look at lying like we look at lying. And that's when the Bible says don't swear at all. Let your yes be yes. Let your yea be yea, and let your no be no, and whatever is more than this is of the evil one, is of the devil. You know, I've got to swear to you by my mother's grave in order for you to believe me. But are you aware the spirit in America, the spirit that permeates America politically is, but he wasn't under oath when he said this. As though the fact he's put himself under oath made the untruth that he told of greater consequence or of lesser consequence. And you stop and think about it. He wasn't under oath when he said that. He said it, did he not? God heard it, and it is a lie, is it not? And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. You know how God feels about it? It's an abomination to the Lord. And so, young people, whenever you make an F, and you've got that F with that straight arm, a straight thing down one side, and the two prongs out on the other side, don't put another mark on the other side and turn that F into an A. My mom and daddy didn't appreciate that. They taught me a great, great lesson about lying. And I thank God. It's an abomination to God. Look again. Where the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. That's why the words that Mike read to us, every idle word that men speak, they'll give an account thereof. On the day of judgment, you will face every lie that you've ever told. Every secret thing will be brought into judgment. And I love that verse. It used to scare me to death when it says, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I used to read that verse and think about, well, you know, the day of judgment is going to be a time when every secret thing I've ever done will be revealed. And that's what it says. But it's not just the evil that's done, that's been unforgiven. It's the cup of cold water that is there. And it will not go unpunished. But look again. Look at the next verse. Having looked at the verse says that that lie will not go unpunished. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 28 that says, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. People are crushed by lies. That's why God said it's an abomination, because of the impact that it has. And there are those individuals who crush other people. And the statement is, well, it was just a little white lie. It is an evidence. Listen to this. It is an evidence that you hate that person. You know why you lie to that person? Because you don't respect them. And you mark it down that if a person lies to somebody else, it's because they have no respect for them. That's why the Bible is so obvious when it talks about this matter of lying. Look at the matter of what this proverb says about gossip. And if this is something that is a part of your life, you need to change your life. You're not going to go to heaven. Here's what the Bible says. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, that says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." You know what gossip does? It will destroy friendship. A lot of times that's why it happens. And those of you who, can remember the problems you had in the second or third grade or something like that, whenever they lied about you and gossiped about you. See, you're not in the second or third. It's not something that's happening in school. It's something that's happening in life. And this is exactly what gossip does. Well, I'm going to tell you something, but don't you tell anybody. The Bible says that the Lord hates not the man who starts the lie, but the man who picks up the lie and tells it again. And God hates that. Not only does it separate friends, but look at it said a little bit different in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, when it says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." That's wisdom. And the divine scripture says, you watch out somebody that's a whisperer, because they, by the maliciousness of the things that they're saying, hoping that others will not be able to hear what's being said. Let me tell you this, but don't you tell anybody I said it. You'll destroy and separate the best of friends. And then here's this one. It's found twice in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. "A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." Here is that individual who's your friend. And love covers a multitude of sin, and instead of telling everybody on this earth about something that is amiss in your life, they conceal that, not that they ignore wrongdoing, not that kind of concealing at all, but the love that they have allows them to help you solve that thing without scattering it to the wind. For once it's scattered to the wind, it'll never come back. And then here's one that we put in here especially for our young people and the smaller children who are trying to learn these cards. "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out." Have I gotten ahead of myself? "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases." You know the best way to handle situations sometimes? Say nothing. Say nothing. Person says something about you, sometimes the wisest course that you can take is not to respond at all. That's why the Bible says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You think about two individuals in a fuss, and one of them calls the other one some curse words, a blankety blank. Well, the Christian's going to respond. "You're not going to call me that. You call me a blankety blank, but you are a blankety blankety blank." Well, you know what's going to happen next, don't you? They're going to turn back and call you a blankety, 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 blank, and then it's your time to blankety, 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 blank them. And I love what Brother Faulkner said one time whenever he says, folks, don't go down that road. They know more words than you do. Don't get in a puking contest with a buzzard. And that's right. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. But look again at the next section, where Proverbs talks about people talking too much. And hear this from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You know what that means? If you talk all the time, there's going to be sin in something that you say. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. You want to change the way you are? If whenever God says these words, you feel God is talking right to you about you and what you are and the things that you do, don't just ignore it. God's trying to chastise you. He's trying to chasten you. He's trying to help you get to heaven. And he says, you can't talk all the time without getting sin involved in it. And then there's the other one. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. He who has knowledge speaks sparsely. What about this one? Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. That's an amazing proverb. There have been times in my life when I've tried to be the last person to speak about a situation. Not because I thought I knew more than anybody else. But sometimes that individual who speaks first loses the advantage that he ever might have wanted to have. And wisdom says you just sit back. Because if you say nothing, they don't know whether you are a fool or not, but if you open your mouth, you'll let it out in a hurry. Even a fool, when he keeps his mouth shut, is accounted as wise. I'm thankful for the peace there is at Palm Beach Lakes. In the nearly 30 years I've been here, what a joy it has been to be a part of a congregation that understands and tries to live by these principles. I'm glad whenever I start talking about a situation, about some problem stirring up in a church, I've got to look not at what's happened in my life in this place, to look in other places. But you and I need to understand that there's not a one of us in this auditorium tonight that doesn't need to listen to the words of the Proverbs. Now then, were you listening? Were you listening? David said, your word have I hid in my heart. Let's see how well you were listening. The heart of a righteous man studies. He studies how to answer. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. A soft answer turns away wrath, and grievous words. I'll get it. A harsh word stirs up strife. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles, in the plural. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. A false answer will not go unpunished. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. He who repeats a matter separates friends. And similar to that, a whisper separates what kind of friends? The best friends. Rather than be a talebearer, a faithful friend conceals a matter. And I know you'll know this one. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Did your grandmother or grandfather ever have one of those little stories, little sentences they'd say like that? We need to teach this principle to our children. It's just something they'll hear this, they'll memorize this, and later in their life they'll really grab a hold of it. What about this one? In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. He who has knowledge spares his words. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. Now the whole design of our heart-to-heart, and or not heart-to-heart, but our soldiers of Christ, is to try to change who we are. And I hope you'll take those cards that you have and that you'll look at those things and you will find the verses that'll change your heart. And meditate on them. Psalms 1 says, that man who is like a tree that's fruitful, planted beside the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, says, and on his law he meditates day and night. And if some of these verses tonight, words from God, from the wisdom of Solomon, if these have spoken to your heart, don't you dare walk out of this building and forget that God was talking to your heart tonight. And put these things in your heart, meditate about them, and they'll change who you are. Because as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. And the only way I know to change our hearts or to change our thinking, and the way I know to change our thinking is to get words before us that are written on our very heart because they're first written in our minds. Sunday nights are different. And I hope that we're trying to be better people because of this Soldiers of Christ program. We're going to now sing this song of invitation, and if you need to respond to Jesus, His plan of salvation is there, very simply laid out on the screen. You'll not be saved unless you believe in Him. Mark 16:16 says, he that believes not shall be condemned. And when Acts 17:30 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent, that includes every one of us. And when Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. That's every one of us. And when the Bible talks about we are sons of God because we have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26-27, that's us. If I am a son of God because I have been baptized into Christ, and you're here tonight and you've not been baptized into Christ, you understand the implication of that statement? If I am a child of God by faith because I have been baptized and you have not been baptized, what does that say about your relationship to Christ? You need to be baptized. You need to be baptized tonight. And then because He's added you to His body, to His kingdom, to His family, because you're His child, He says, here's the way I want you to spend the rest of your life. you be full of faith, faithful unto death. And God, the Lord Jesus, who cannot lie, says, and I will give you the crown of life. It's out there for us. If you don't have an assurance of it, won't you gain that assurance by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?